Good evening, good evening, good evening. Someone say Jesus.
Jesus.
Let's see your Bibles tonight. Word. Let's read one more time. Stay with me now. Stay with me now. Stay with me. Give it to me. Word. Let's try it one more time, okay? Take a deep breath in. Here we go. Let's see your pens. Lesson plan. Okay, you can put all that away. We're going to do a quiz today. Just put it all away. You don't need it. And you want your hands to be free. You want your hands to be free. So put it where you don't have to hold it. You don't have to read it. You don't have to write. How many of you have never been in one of our quizzes? Raise your hand. Very good. Okay, very good. We're glad you're here tonight. Here's how it works. I'm going to ask you a question, and then you're going to say the answer, but most likely you won't know it the way I want you to say it. So I'm going to ask you the answer and give you the answer, and then I'm going to ask you a question again, and then you'll give me the answer. You'll see in a minute. It is an interactive process. We all talk. I'm going to give you some hand signs. You're going to learn a bunch of hand signs, and I want you to use your hands. As a matter of fact, are your hands free? Can I see your hands? Okay, do this. Say, marvelous. Very good. So, okay, that's one of our answers today. So you're going to know that. And you got to say it like you're real stuck up, like you're from Harvard. Marvelous. Okay, we'll get to that in a minute. But we're going to, not that people from Harvard are stuck up. That didn't mean that. But you say, I went to Harvard. So you're going to have hand signs. You're going to speak. You have to trust your brain because your brain will learn the information faster than you think you know it. And so if I ask you a question and you feel like you want to say something but you're not sure, just say something and probably the right answer will come out. If the wrong answer comes out, no one's going to know anyway because you're going to be in amongst a bunch of other people making a mistake, so it's okay. If I make a mistake, please laugh at me. It's okay. I could take it and it'll just increase our fun in the activity. Okay? Now, we got to get in the quiz position. Tell the person next to you what the quiz position is. Put your booty back. That means sit up straight. Everybody got the booty back? Okay, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness and your goodness. Thank you so much for your word. And I pray that you would quicken our mind. In other words, clarify and prepare our mind to learn, to think, prepare our mouth to speak. I pray no one tries to be cool tonight by sitting and listening. I pray we would all get involved and learn by speaking. And even if we make a mistake, this is the place we want to make it. We thank you for having a comfortable place to make mistakes. And again, we thank you for being good to us in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Everyone said?
Amen.
Who's the man tonight?
Jesus.
Who's the man tonight?
Jesus.
Everyone throw your hands in the air and wiggle your fingers like you don't care. Say, Jesus. Shoo. Let's try that one more time. Say, Jesus. Who? And we're going to say who when you put it down. Put it up one more time. Say, Jesus. Who? Okay. We are in week 8, the final week of an 8-week series called Image is Everything. And we've been talking about the fact that all of us were made in God's image. And a lot of times when people try to improve their own image, they look at other people and they compare themselves to other people. And they decide, if I want to improve my image, I'm going to start talking like him, dressing like her, walking like him. I'm going to get a car like that guy. I'm going to get a house like that guy. And what we found is that as we've seen Adam and Eve were in the garden, and they had everything they wanted because they were with God. The devil came along and says, no, what you need to do is to be God yourself and take control of your life and pursue cars and money and things. That's how you improve your image, thus the car. This is not how you improve your image, even though you can get one, but this is not what defines you. Things in the world don't define you. What defines you is God. So the Bible says that we were all made in the image of God, and if we want to improve our self-image, all we have to do is learn about God and be like God, and thus your image will improve. So what we need to do is educate ourselves about who God is and what God and his character say to our God image, okay? And so we're going to review some of those things tonight. Everyone say image.
Image.
Say image.
Image.
Spell it for me.
I-M-A-G-E.
Okay, remember that if I do this with my hands, that's what that means, okay? Let's do it again.
I-M-A-G-E.
Very good. Watch how smart you are. Do it backwards. Very good. The Bible says that we are made in the image of God. The Bible says we are made in the image of who?
God.
Okay, I'm going to take a deep breath in. Say God.
God.
That's what I'm talking about right there. Okay, the Bible says we are made in the image of who?
God.
Made in the image of who?
God.
The only way we can know about who God is through God's self-revelation, because God has to choose to reveal himself to us. If you create a God in your mind and say, I'm going to worship the God of my own mind, or the God that I define, and I'm going to worship him my way, that's called idolatry. Idolatry is a sin. What we need to do is worship the one true God, and the only way we can know about the one true God is through his self-revelation. The only way we can know about the one true God is through his self-what? His self-what? The only way we can know about the one true God is through his what revelation? His what revelation? The only way we can put the two together, the only way we can learn about the one true God is through his? Very good. Say it again. The Bible says we are made in the image of who?
God.
And not man. Not who?
Man.
Very good. We were made in the image of who?
God.
And not
man.
Very good. The only way we can learn about God is through his what?
Self.
Say it again.
Self.
In other words, God has chosen to reveal himself to us. And the only way we can know who he is and about him is through his self-revelation. He teaches us about himself because he is beyond us. Okay? He reveals himself to us through three main ways. The Word, say the Word.
Word.
Say the Son.
Son.
Say creation.
Creation.
Say Word.
Word.
Son.
Son.
Very good. Say it again.
Word. Son.
Say it again.
Word. Son.
Say it backwards.
Creation.
Say it backwards.
Creation.
See how easy that is? Say it from the middle going left. Say it from the middle going west.
Son.
Very good. Middle going right. Very good. See how smart you are? The Bible says that God reveals himself through his word, through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the express image of an invisible God. Jesus Christ said here's what the invisible God not physically looks like, but here's what the invisible God is like. Okay? The word is God, and the Bible says that God reveals himself through creation. Ever since the creation of the world, Romans 1 tells us, God's invisible attributes are clearly seen. We'll talk a little bit about that later. Okay, the Bible says that all of us were made in the image of who?
God.
Not who.
Man.
And the only way we can know about God is through his what? And he reveals himself to us through three ways. Say it again. Very good. This is his word. He only needed to write one book. He got it right the first time. He doesn't have multiple books. He got one book. So if someone says, oh, this is the new version of the Bible, and I don't mean new version, like new religion, the new translation or new revelation, lies. He got one book. He got it straight the first time. He don't make mistakes. So you only need his word of God. So the word, the son, and creation. Now, everyone spell image one more time.
I-M-A-G.
Say it again.
I,
these are five aspects of our God image. I says every single one of us is an individual personality. I say individual, you say personality. Every single one of us is an individual what?
Personality.
Say it again.
Personality.
Say it three times.
Personality.
Very good. Every single one of you is an individual personality. And the Bible also tells us that we were individually. If I say individually, you say unique. You are all individually.
Unique.
You are individually. Lee, did you say Neek? Lee Neek? If I'm not going to say the whole word, you're not going to say the whole word. Individual Lee. Very good. And everyone's an individual. Everyone's an individual. Every single one of you have your own unique fingerprint, handprint, vein pattern in your hand, vein pattern in your feet. Vein pattern in your eye. When you do a retinal scan, they're looking for the vein pattern in your eye. The vein pattern in your eye is unique to you. You have your own DNA. Every bird has its own. Ah! Every leopard has its own stripes. Every plant and every living thing on the planet, bug, plant, flower, tree, human, bird, fish, all have its own DNA. Every single one is coded, unique, one of a kind. Matter of fact, how many of y'all saw March of the Penguins? Y'all see March of the Penguins? Was that movie the... How many of you have not seen March of the Penguins? Oh, my goodness. You need to get that movie. For y'all who saw it, isn't that a bad movie? You need to see it. You will cry at the end of the movie. For real. Well, maybe you won't. Maybe you're a heartless person and you won't cry, but... Did anyone cry when they saw it? It'll make you cry. It is an incredible movie. But at the end of the movie, I want you to imagine 1,000 penguins all huddled up like this, and they're waiting for their wife to come back. Just imagine all these guys, 1,000 guys sitting here waiting for their wife to come back. And she's been eating for months. And she's coming back like this. This is what happened. And how do they find their husband? By the sound. Every animal has its own sound. What is my point? That God made every single one of you unique. Every single one of you is marvelous. I want you to get your drill like that, and I want you to act like you're from Harvard. Say marvelous. I want to see hand motion. Hand motion. Get them ready. Ready? Say marvelous. Look around the room at everyone's hands. Marvelous. God made every single one of you to be marvelous. The Bible says you are wonderfully made and marvelously made. You are not a mistake. And God made you just like you are. Now, we've messed it up. Doesn't mean that all your issues are from God, but he made you marvelous. The Bible says you are a creative creature. If I say creative and do this, this is creature. You are a creature, okay? You are creative what? You're a creative what? And you have great ideas. Put your finger to your head and say ideas. Say ideas. You are a creative what? And you have great what? And you are what? Marvelous. You are what? Very good. Every single one is unique, one of a kind person. But because you and I are sinners, we are what we call I am imposters. Say imposter. When Moses was talking to the burning bush, he said to God, God, what is your name? He says, I am that I am. I am is my name, Jehovah God. That means I independently exist. I never was. I always was. I always will be, and I am now. And you don't define me, and you can't kill me. What the devil wants you to be is an I am imposter. In other words, he wants you to think you're God. He told Adam and Eve, you could be like God. You don't need God. You could decide good and evil on your own. And so even though we were made individuals, our sinfulness entices us, instigates us to try to be an I am imposter. I can be God. You don't want to do that. So even though you are an individual, your sinfulness will cause you to think you are an I am what? Imposter. Say imposter.
Say imposter.
Say imposter.
Say marvelous. Say marvelous.
You are creative what? And you have great what? And the only way you can know about God is the Bible says you are made. Thank you very much. The Bible says that you are made in whose image?
God.
Not who?
Man.
God reveals himself in three ways. What are they?
Word, son.
And the only way we can know about God is through his what? Say it again. M. Say M. I say moral, you say mirror. I say moral, you say? Every single one of us was created to be a moral mirror. What does a mirror do? It reflects back something. God has created us to reflect back to the world his morality. If you watch the news, especially in the presidential debates that will happen for the next year, you will hear a lot about the values candidate or the values. They just had a value summit. And what they want to know is which one of these candidates, in so many words, kinda, have these values or values are close to this. Do you believe in abortion or not? Do you believe in same-sex marriage or not? Do you believe in death penalty? Whatever they're asking, that's not really a big issue, but whatever about the war. What are your values? As Christians, God created us. He created all people, but when you get saved, this component of life comes alive. You were made to reflect to the world the values of God, not the values of man. So there are politically correct ways of answering questions, and then there's a biblical way of answering questions. Sometimes, but not most of the time, they are the same. But your values must come from the Bible, because you are a moral mirror reflecting back to the world God's morality. Now, the devil would want to turn you into a morality maker. The devil would want to turn you into a morality what?
Maker.
A morality what?
Maker.
A morality maker is very simple. I make my own rules. I know what's right and wrong. I decide right and wrong for myself. That's exactly what the devil told Adam and Eve. You can be like God. You can decide good and evil on your own. That is what the devil would want you to do. Now, you can't. You'll always be wrong. Our job is to reflect back God's glory. Our job is to reflect back his righteousness or his rightness, his morality, his yeses and nos, not our own. Now, as an adult, you may say, well, you know what? I'm a Christian. I go to church, but this is what I believe. Well, time out. It's like saying I'm married, but I still have these girlfriends. Time out. If you're going to be God's child, you are mandated by God in the context of your relationship as a Christian, which is 24/7, to reflect back his glory. That's why he made you. That's why he gave us the word. That's why he gave us his son. That's why he gave us the insight to see his design in creation, is that you would reflect back to the world his morality. The problem is with the church is that a lot of Christians don't live that way. They go to church, they do a couple of good things, and then they do their own thing because they think they know more than God. You don't want to play that game because you will always be wrong. You will never know more than God, and you will never know so much of the Bible, you don't need the Bible anymore, that you could decide on your own. And so you and I are a moral, say mirror. Say mirror. Say it again. You are a moral mirror, and the Word of God frames our moral mirror. The Word of God does what? The Word of God does what? That means when you go outside of that frame, you are in immorality zone. Within the frame is morality. Outside is immorality. If you ever wonder who determines right and wrong, who determines immoral and amoral? God. Not the Constitution of the United States, not the Supreme Court, and the many Supreme Courts of every state and of the country. No, no, no. Now, if they agree with the Bible, fine, but in the end, it's the Bible. That's why people in the Bible and all throughout history went to jail because they decided to obey God instead of man. Don't be shocked if someone in this country, a pastor, goes to jail within the next 24 months. Don't be shocked. That will not surprise me. And it will happen, I think, in this state first. Don't surprise me because they are going to make preaching this word, a certain aspect of it, specifically talking about homosexuality, illegal. Don't surprise you. If that happens, why? Because they're going to say, you can't say that. And so the preacher has to decide, do I say what the Bible says to say, or do I not? And all of you, the devil has a machine gun, and he's firing bullets. And you're going to have to decide whether to duck and say, well, I'm not a Christian today, or no, I believe that, and I'll take my bullets. And so you are a morality maker, and you are a moral mirror, not a morality maker, and the Word of God frames in your morality. And so you are to obey what is written. You are to obey what is what?
Written.
Say written.
Written.
You are a moral what?
Mirror.
And the Word of God does what to that mirror? Let's talk loud. You are a moral what?
Mirror.
And the Word of God does what to that mirror? And you are to obey what is what?
Written.
And the church will polish that mirror. The church will do what to that mirror?
Polish.
When I do this, you say polish.
Polish.
Say it again.
Polish.
Wash my hand.
Polish.
Yeah, very good. Do it again. How many of y'all said lish? Let's do it again. You are a moral what?
Yeah.
Not a morality what?
Yeah.
And you are to obey what is what? Yeah. And the Word of God is going to do what to your moral mirror? And you and the church is going to do what to your mirror? Yeah. Say it again. Yeah. Say it again. Yeah. Say it three times.
Yeah.
Very good. A. Say A. Now, I want you to think with me. A is three words. Is that a hard? Three words. Think A and R to R. You have been given the authority and responsibility to rule. Say authority and responsibility to what? Say authority. Say responsibility. Say rule. Okay, you say it by yourself. You're going to say a word. I'm going to say two. You say another word. I'm going to say that. And then you're going, okay. Say the first word. And two. See, I don't even have to explain it coherently, and you still know what I'm saying. So say it again. God has given you the. God has given you the. Say authority. God has given you the. When I say God has given you the, you say authority. God has given you the. And. Say it again. God has given you the. And. Two. Over environments, not people, God has given you the and to over not. Let's say it again. God has given you the and to over not that they may fulfill God's purpose. Whose purpose? Not man. Say man's. God has given you and created you to have authority over environments. Say environments. Not people. Say people. That you may help them obey God's and fulfill God's purpose in their life, not yours. How many of you ladies out here have never had a baby? Okay, how many of you had a baby? Okay, almost 50-50. All you ladies have not had a baby. Here's what's going to happen when you get pregnant. When you get pregnant, your whole life is going to change drastically as soon as you know there's something living in you, a person. Not a person to be, a person that God knew before you got pregnant. God already knows the baby you're going to have. He's got a plan for that baby. He has a name for that baby. It's a person. No matter what the government tells you, it's a person. No matter what a doctor tells you, God says, I knew you in the womb, and I had a plan for you. We'll get to that in another sermon. When that baby comes in your womb or starts to grow, what you're going to do is, I'm going to get the room ready. And you're going to put wallpaper up, and you're going to put the little crib and the little blanket and the matching wallpaper with the blanket, and you're going to make sure everything's clean. What you're doing is creating an environment for the baby to grow in. Why? Because your job and responsibility and your calling from God, as men also have the same calling in other environments, is to create an environment where people can grow to fulfill what God has called them to be, not what you want them to be. Because you may not know what God wants them to be. Matter of fact, you don't know what God wants them to be. God knows what the hell, and God has the plan. Your job is just to be in tune with God, but to facilitate that growth. My job, my authority and responsibility as a pastor is to create an environment, not only in this room, on this property, and the best we can in all the ministries, where you can understand God's purpose for your life and God's purpose in your life can be fulfilled. My job and responsibility is not to have authority over you as a person. In other words, to control you. I can't control you. Now, I can tell you, in this church, we're not going to do this and blah, 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 but that's the environment. You could choose to leave and go someplace else. But according to the individually uniqueness of me, as you have uniqueness, he says, here's how I want you to have the church. Here's how I want you to do this. Here's how I want you to do this. And why? So people can come into an environment that is unique. Every church is one of a kind, should be unique. And you go in that church and it's an environment where you can grow into what God has called you to do. God has given every single one of you the authority and responsibility to rule over some environment that the people of God or people in general can grow and fulfill God's purpose, not yours. Now, this includes your job. If you own a business, that's your environment. That's the way you have control. That's where God has given you authority. If it's your family, if it's your house, if it's your team that you play on or that you coach, whatever it is, God has given you authority and responsibility over that to rule it according to his moral, as a moral mirror. Not your own morality, his morality. So don't be coming to church as a Christian and then go to your job and start cursing everybody out at your job. No, you want to reflect God's morality at your job. And yes, he can get your knucklehead employees, if you have knucklehead employees, to do it without you cursing. He can. Amen? Say I. Spell it.
I-N-G.
Say it again.
I-N-G.
Put your hands up in the air. Take a deep breath in. Say Jesus.
Jesus.
Put your hands down. You were wonderfully and how were you made? Say marvelous. Come on, everyone participate. Say marvelous. And you are creative what? You're creative what? You're creative what? And God has given you great what? How many of you know you have great ideas? Do you know that God? I know I do. How many of you feel like you have great ideas and don't have a chance to blossom? Guess what? You need to say, God, what environment can I go and get into where that can blossom. You ever see a tree or a plant that you're trying to grow and you nurture the ground so it grows? It's the same principle. You could put a tree, don't give it right water, don't give it right soil, and it doesn't grow up this big. I have trees. I have these palm trees on my property. They're the same exact palm tree. We bought them at the same exact time, and they were all the same exact size. They were in this little tiny pot. Literally, they were this big. I have one that's this big and one that is 7 feet tall. Same plant. Why? Different environment. That's it. Different soil, different water system, whatever it is, and some are this big, and some are still this big. Same plant. Christians are the same way. You got some born again the same day, and some are doing this incredible stuff, and some still don't even read the Bible. It's the environment. And you may be saying, you know, I want to be so much more. God has so much more for my life. You need to a change of environment, place where you can flourish and grow and have opportunity and be challenged. And by the way, people in your life who will tell you the truth. And sometimes it's stuff you don't want to hear. That's a good environment you want to be in. Amen?
I don't know that. Amen.
Say G. G means we're supposed to be whose friend? Whose friend? The Bible says we're made in the image of who? We're made in the image of who? And the only way we can know about God is through his what? Come on now. Y'all awake? Yes? The only way we can know about God is through his self what? I'm going to help you. His self what? His what revelation?
Self.
The only way we can know about God is through his?
Self.
And he reveals himself to us through three ways. Say it.
Word,
very good. Say it again.
Word,
right. If we want to be God's friends obey him. God's friends obey him. If you want to be God's friend, you do what to him? Do what to him?
Obey.
Say it again.
Obey.
Say it again.
Obey.
The Bible says you are wonderfully and, let me see your hands.
Aww.
Very good. If you want to be God's friend, you do what to him?
Obey.
If you not want to be his friend, you do what to him?
Disobey.
Very good guess. That's accurate. Very good guess. Everyone say disobey.
Disobey.
Say disobey. If you want to be God's friend, you must glorify his creativity. Say glorify.
Glorify.
Say glorify.
Glorify.
The Bible says, Romans chapter 1, that since the creation of the world, say creation.
Creation.
Some of you may believe in evolution. If you believe, if we use as a definition for evolution that all things resulted from scientific process and not a divine creator, the Bible says that God created everything. So evolution, by that definition, is in direct conflict with the Bible. And if you believe that science is in conflict with God, God created science. He created biology, he created physics, he created math, he created the magnetic fields that hold the universe together. He created electromagnetic forces. He created that to govern his created thing called the universe. He exists outside the universe. Those things do not limit him. They don't control him. He created them. And so what we do every day and what scientists do every day is we observe and study God's creation, which is the universe, and scientific process. We observe the growth of things. There has never been anywhere observed one species evolve into another species. It has never been observed. What we do observe is species changing and adapting within their own species. That's fine. The Bible says everything was made according to its kind. That's just called microevolution. No big deal. People get taller, people get darker, they get lighter, whatever. And, you know, they grow thicker hair in cold weather. That's no big deal. But we've never seen any animal turn into a different animal. Matter of fact, it's genetically impossible. There's genetic limitations from one species to another. It can't happen. You can't breed a cat with a dog. It can't happen. It's a chemical thing. Not that they don't want to, and not that they aren't attracted to each other. They just can't. I mean, I ain't one to gossip, but they ain't, okay? My point is this. The Bible says ever since the creation of the world, as the Bible says all throughout the Bible, that God created the heavens and earth, ever since the creation of the world, that God's invisible attributes are so clearly seen that man is without excuse to ever say it evolved. I'm going to say that again. I'm paraphrasing, but read it. Chapter 1, verse 18 to 21 of Romans. Since the creation of the world, everyone say creation. The Bible says that word many times. Ever since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes are so clearly seen that man is without excuse. You can never say, God, it just looked like evolution. And God will tell you, no. I made it in such a way that that conclusion was impossible. That's what that means. Let me give you an example. If you walked into this room, and let's say everybody left and you came up to me after and said, hey, Miles, tell me about how this building was built. And I told you, It didn't. We didn't build it. It just evolved. For real. I mean, you laugh because it's ridiculous. That's why it's so funny. This stuff, the wind blew and there was an earthquake, and over billions of years, the beams lined themselves up, the lights put themselves right there, and all the structure was strong enough to hold the 500-pound, there's three 500-pound projectors right over your head right now. I don't mean to scare you, but there's three 500-pound projectors, and there's about thousands of pounds of stuff above your head. And electrical wires and the internet and the soundboard and the lights and the video and all the electronics to all that goes all the way upstairs. All that stuff is just evolution. It happened by itself. You would say, please. Why? Because it's obvious. It's obvious that those things are, one, complex, and two, those things serve a very specific purpose, and they are very complex, and there's no way they could have created themselves because they don't have the intelligence to have created their own purpose. It's called intelligent design. And not one of you in here, not one of you in here would believe that nobody did that, that it did it by itself. So what God is saying is that when you look at your body, when you look at the universe, when you look at the animals, when you look at the interdependence between the plants and the animals and the ocean and the gravitational force of the earth and the moon pulling on the tides of the ocean, when you look at all of that as infinitely more complex than this building, and you say it happened by itself, God says, I don't even want to talk. That is infinitely more complex and big and powerful to the millimeter. So the Bible says, since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his wisdom, his artistic ability, his strength. You know how strong it is to fling the stars out? I was in the high desert yesterday. We drove back for a football game and driving through the mountains. Huge mountains. And that, I shouldn't say they're huge because they're not. They're hills compared to mountains. And God just made the mountains. Whew, no big deal. Huge. Big old rocks bigger than this building. God said, I lift them with my pinky. And so God, we have to glorify God. God's friends not only obey him, they glorify him in his creativity. Say glorify. Say glorify. Okay, then we're going to get to the end. E, say eternal. What kind of spirit did God give you? Everyone say eternal. Take a deep breath in. Take a deep breath out. Say eternal. Every single one was given an eternal spirit. Look at those pictures see those pictures of the space thing? Those things are light years, hundreds of thousands of light years away, and light years big. And they look like, oh, this little jellyfish thing. Those things are gigantic. And the Bible says God did this. You know what scientists, anyone here in astronomy, you'll know, or people who study the stars, or you'll know the Bible, the scientists will tell you, the reason they came with the Big Bang Theory is because they observed that the universe is expanding. So they said, well, if it's expanding, it must have been smaller, and so it must have been very small, that all the matter in the world was compressed. Well, one, where did the matter come from, and where did the power come to compress it? And then where did the power come to explode it? We don't know. Well, that's a big I don't know. But the point is this, the universe is expanding, and you know what's the tripping thing about it? The Bible says that God stretches out the heavens like a curtain. Five words. Say life. Watch my hands. This is life. Say life.
Life.
Separation.
Separation.
Worship.
Worship.
Hope.
Hope.
Message. Message. Say it again. Say it loud.
Life, separation, worship, hope.
One more time.
Life, separation, worship, hope.
One more time. Very good. God has offered you eternal. And if you sin, you will get eternal. But he has intended you to give him eternal. So you can have eternal and preach an eternal. Very good. God has offered you eternal. But if you sin, you get eternal. But he has created you to give him eternal. So you can have eternal and preach an eternal. Very good. Sit up. We're going to do the whole thing. Say hi to someone telling you you're ready. Give him a kiss if you're married to them. Okay, well, righty then. Are y'all ready? How many of you are here with your spouse? Please kiss them, please. Someone said, "Aw, why can't I kiss somebody?" As James Brown used to do, step back and kiss yourself. That's okay. Go do that right there. Whenever I kiss and hug my wife, which I do every day, all day, because I love my wife very much. That's right. This is how I am. And so I'm always, always, constantly hugging on my wife and kissing my wife. So when my kids, especially my son, he's 18, he always goes, "Awkward, awkward." Then he says, "Get a room." And then I say, "I got a house, you get out." And then the conversation's over. Okay, ready? Okay, ready? Ready? Say, "Jesus."
Jesus.
Have you learned anything yet? Very good. If anything you learned is that you can learn like that. If anything, you can learn like that by repeating stuff. And by the way, if you're one to read something and just try to memorize it without saying it, you handicap yourself. Say it out loud. You will learn so much faster if you say it out loud. And if people think you're talking to yourself, you are. That's okay. one of the reasons we have those tents outside is we're having a ministry fair. We had one last week. We had 3,400 people sign up last week and 1,400 today. We're at almost, very good. We're at 4,800 people that have signed up for ministry. Usually 50% of those people follow through and 50% it doesn't work out. They change whatever. Hopefully we'll get that percentage up. It doesn't matter. We need as many people as we can get. We have ushers, greeters, pebbles, people to work for little kids. We have a bunch of sporting ministries, and all these ministries are designed to get the gospel to the world. We got the men's ministry. Matter of fact, we got a men's retreat. You should sign up, all you fellows, a men's retreat coming up. We got the women's ministry. We need marriage mentors. We need to counsel and encourage couples who are getting married. We have ministry to foster care kids to be a mentor. We also have a system if you want to start a ministry. More than half those ministries out there were started by people. So if you feel like, "Hey, there's no ministry for what I have interest in," let's go. Let's go. How many of you were given the gift of leadership? Okay, if you were given the gift of leadership, you need to use it. Because you not only represent one person who might get the gospel, if you have been given the gift of leadership, you represent more than one people. And so persons, individuals. So by you not using your gift of leadership in some way, there's a whole bunch of people who are praying to God for help that are not getting it. Because you represent a bunch of people. Because you're going to lead somebody who's going to lead somebody else. And so if God is calling you, "Hey, I need an idea." We want to avoid ministries being led by people who don't have the gift of leadership. Let me say that another way. There are people who want to start a ministry. God bless you, very good. But if you don't have to get the leadership, that ministry probably won't grow because you don't have to get the leadership. But if you are a leader, and not all people can lead, by the way, if you are a leader and you're put in the right place, you're going to facilitate and organize a bigger, more effective ministry. And do we want the ministry to be bigger and effective? Yes, because we reach more people. And so if you have to get the leadership, there's a ministry waiting for you. And there are probably ministries that already exist that can use you right now. So just go up there and fish around, get the book and pray, "God, what do you want me to do?" And there's probably a ministry just waiting for you to step in and not only to get people with leadership, all of y'all, to do something. Some of you type, we're having a living nativity here. We want to, in December, we need actors. We're going to have a whole, at least this is what we want, Bethlehem and the star and the angels singing and Jesus in the manger and the animals. Maybe you're an animal. You could play one of the animals. I don't know what it is you do. You know, we need makeup. We need hay. We need people to build stuff. We don't want to buy the sets. Let's build the sets. Some of y'all got scrap stuff hanging around. Let's build the sets. So we need that. Okay, in a couple months. So go out there and sign up for that. And so we need all that. Okay, everyone ready? Lift your hands up in the air one more time. Take a deep breath in. Say, Jesus. Very good. I love it. I love it. I love it. Okay, the Bible says we were made in the image of who? Made in the image of who? Not who. And the Bible says the only way we can know about God is through his what? What? And he reveals himself to us through three ways. One is what? Spell image. Spell backwards. Very good. The three ways God reveals himself to us are? Very good. Say it again. The I says that we were individual, and then that we were individually. We were individually. Show your hands. You are wonderfully and what made? Say, you are wonderfully and what made? Say it like this. Say, marvelous. Very good. That's what I like to say. Say it again. Marvelous. If you meet somebody at Starbucks, they say, I am marvelous. You are a creative what? You are a creative what? You are a creative what? With great what? With great what? The devil would try to turn you into an I am. I imposter starts with I. I am. I am. Track with me. The devil would try to turn you into a morality. Very good. Two M words. A morality. Very good. You were made to be a moral what? Made to be a moral what? And God's word does what to that mirror? And you are to obey what is what? And the church will do what to that mirror? Say it again. Let's do it slow. Okay, here's how it goes. If we do polish. If I do it again, just go lish, lish, lish. Where do I come up with this stuff? Ready? Here we go. So, what did you learn in church tonight, Johnny? List, list, list. Spitting all over myself. Authority, authority. A-R-R. You have been, God has given you the to and to over not that they may fulfill whose purpose and not. Let's do that one more time. God has given you the and to over not that they may feel God's, I'm sorry, that they may feel whose purpose? Not who. I would challenge you to go home tonight and think, what are the environments God has given you authority over? Identify that. You may have shared responsibility. No one has ultimate responsibility over any environment. Usually, it's usually shared. You and your wife share your environment at your house. It's your wife's house. She just lets you sleep there. Amen, ladies? Yeah, okay. Okay. But you share it. You know, my wife wanted to paint the house three years ago. We've been in the house 9 years. She wanted to paint it. And I said, it's already painted. It's been painted since we've been here. It's all white. She says, well, you know, I want to paint it different colors. Well, that's her environment. I gotta back off, you know. And then, she's got her environmental authoritative dominion responsibilities, and I have mine. Okay? And so anyway, God's given you authority and the responsibility to rule over the environment. G, say G. You are called to be God's what? Friend. Whose friend? God. And how are you God's friend? When you do what to his word? Okay. Do what? Okay. And how are you not his friend? Disobey. Say it again. Disobey. That's what this means. Say disobey. Disobey. Very good. What kind of spirit did he give you? What kind of spirit did he give you? Eternal. Say it again. Eternal. Okay, this is it. God has offered you eternal. And when you sin, you get eternal. But he wants you to give him eternal. And so you can have eternal and preach an eternal. Very good. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. When you and I were born, the Bible says we were dead in our transgressions and sins. We were made with all these five aspects of our God image, but we were dead in our transgressions and sins. And what happened was, we asked Christ to be our Savior, and we became alive. And God says, I'm going to give you the opportunity to walk out of your coffin and be what I created you to be. And so when you're saved, all of a sudden you start to realize what you were made to be and your potential. And you go from walking around like a zombie with people looking at you thinking you're regular, and then all of a sudden you have all this joy and this peace and this vision for your life and this power. And you're like, wow, where did I get this? God makes you alive. And then you say, what do I do now? Well, let me tell you what you do now. You start to invest in all of those aspects of your God image. You start learning the Bible. You start being obedient. You start serving God according to the way he created you. And each one of us is what the Bible calls is part of the body of Christ. Some of you are eyes. Some of you are ears. Some of you are mouths. Some of you are hands. Some of you have vision. You see things that no one else sees. You have ears. You like to listen, or you're a counselor. Or you hear things, you have discernment. You have a mouth, you could teach or preach and encourage. You have hands and legs, you carry things, you carry burdens. Whatever it is you do, you're an administrator, you're an implementer. Some people come up with ideas, greater ideas. Some people are great at getting it done. Some people are great at giving orders, some people are great at taking orders. There is not one's greater than the other, they all have to work together. Where would the body be without a foot? Where would our body be without an eye? We have to work together. And when we all work together, God's glory, remember, we're here to reflect his morality. We're here so the world can see him. And so what God does is when we all work together and are placed in the proper place in the body of Christ to serve him, then God's glory is seen by the world. Did you know that every diamond, a lot of y'all have, how many of y'all have diamonds? Okay. Every single diamond has its own twinkle. It's identified by its twinkle. I have a theory. It's my opinion. Means what?
Nothing.
Very good. But this is my theory, that when we go to heaven, God is going to recognize our twinkle. He's going to say, my glory reflects off you this way. I see it. And he's going to know you by your twinkle. So we're going to pray, and then we're going to ask you to go out there and sign up for something, and hopefully you'll find the ministry you've been looking for. Lord, we thank you so much for your faithfulness.